Amen. Thank God I know I'm saved.
Amen.
Boy, I hope you know it too.
Amen.
I sure do. Hope you know it. All right, take your Bibles. And we're going to stand as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning. I want you to turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. Luke chapter 16, verse number 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do. When I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Brother Joe Carey, would you please pray for this message this morning? Yes, Lord, help us. Yes, amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Now, this is the first Sunday of the year. And I believe because of that, this is an important service this morning. I believe we ought to take advantage of this service this morning by starting off on the right foot. Now, the Bible says that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. And I believe if you want to end your year right, it would greatly help us this morning to start it out right. We have no control over many things that's going to happen this year. Do you hear me? We cannot see the future. There's many things we don't know about what's going to happen this year. I don't know what's going to happen to us physically, our health. Have no idea what it's going to be this year. Financially, don't know what that's going to be like. How you're going to do financially. You may do well, may not. I don't know about your job. You may have a new job before this time next year. You may not have a job this time next year. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know about the economy. Sure don't know about the economy. I'm absolutely clueless about the government. What's going to happen there. Our taxes. I don't even want to talk about taxes. Listen, there's the weather. We don't know. I hope not. We don't know if it's going to flood, if it's going to drought. Know if we're going to have a hurricane or a tornado. Listen, there's all kind of things we cannot predict and don't have any control over in this next year if the Lord tarries and doesn't come back. But I tell you one thing we have control over. You can have the best year spiritually you've ever had in your life. You can have the best year for the Lord Jesus Christ you've ever had in your life, because none of these other things matter about that. I want you to notice and think about this morning. This usually is the time of year when we have New Year's resolutions. And unfortunately, they usually are pretty carnal resolutions. They're New Year's resolutions concerning losing weight and saving money and giving up cigarettes and Coca-Colas. And listen, all that stuff's good. I believe we all need to lose some weight if you look like me anyway. You don't need to be, if you can give up cigarettes, that'd be wonderful. Quit drinking Coca-Colas. I'm all for that. But we need to be resolved. If we're going to make any type of New Year's resolutions, there'll be resolutions. We ought to be resolved to do something for God this year. Something spiritual. Something spiritual. I want you to notice the text we just read. This is a text about the unjust steward. And I want you to notice what the Bible says. It says that the unjust steward, he was a steward of a rich man. And just summing it up, because we just read it, this man is about to be fired. The rich man is not happy with the way he's being a steward over his stuff. He's hearing some things that are not good. And this unjust steward begins to talk to himself, and I'm just going to sort of paraphrase what he says. He said to himself, man, I'm in bad shape here. I'm too sorry to work, and I'm too proud to beg. That's basically what he says there in verse number 3. It says, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship, he's going to fire me. I cannot dig and to beg, I'm ashamed. Too sorry to dig. Too prideful to beg. He's in bad shape. But the key verse, listen, the key verse of this text is, he gets to thinking about it. He sees what kind of shape he's in. Key verse, number 4. Then he says this, I am resolved what to do. And we just sang that song a while ago. I am resolved. And you know what he did? He said, I made up my mind. I've thought this thing through. I've made up my mind exactly what I'm going to do. And then he begins to put his plan into effect. And he goes and he starts collecting money for his master. He said, this is how I'm going to get out of this predicament. I'm going to go to my master's debtors and begin to collect money. He goes to the first fellow down there in verse number 6. He owes his master 100 measures of oil. He said, just write me 50 of it. Maybe it was that this week he was only going to get 10. But if I bring him 50 into my master, at least I've collected half the debt. He goes to the next fellow. He said, this fellow owes 100 measures of wheat. Just give me 80 of it. And I'm going to get 80 of it. And he writes it out. And he goes into his master and he gives it to him. And his master looks at him and says, man, you've done well. You redeemed yourself. And it looks like to me the poor old fellow gets to keep his job. All because, listen to me now, all because that fellow made up his mind of what he was going to do, and he did it. He was resolved. You and I need to be resolved. If we're going to have any New Year's resolutions about doing something spiritual for the Lord next year. Now I've just got to thinking, what am I resolved to do? What do I want to do this next year? What have I made up my mind to do? To please my master. Because in many ways I feel like I have been an unjust steward with all God's given me. You ever feel that way? You ought to. So maybe God's calling us right here, first Sunday of the year, to be resolved and make up our mind. What are we going to do spiritually for the Lord with all that He's given us? Well, He's given us a lot. I want to go over a few that I have personally decided to do. And hope that you will too. They're all biblical. They're all the right thing to do. And I hope that when we leave this service this morning, we're all resolved in our heart. You say, I am resolved to do these things this year for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go. Number 1. I am resolved to read through my Bible this year. Now actually what I have said is that I've decided that I want to read through my Bible twice this year. That means by June, I need to go through it one time. And then on out, I need to go through it again. Now that is probably a very conservative goal to set. Anybody like me in my situation should at least be able to go through it 3 times a year, probably 4. But I know some of you work and you have different troubles and struggles and trials. And you can't. Devote the time to your Bible that I can. I mean, I'm the pastor. And I'm not talking about study time. I'm not talking about finding sermons. I'm not talking about getting stuff to teach. I'm talking about just devotionally. My goal for me, and I believe it's a very attainable goal and probably not that great of a goal, is just to go through my Bible 2 times this year. What's your goal? Maybe you can't go through it 2 times this year. You can go through it 1 time this year. Do you realize that the record, it goes like this. If you will read 3 chapters a day, 3 chapters a day, you can read through your Bible in a year. And as I said before earlier, I'm saying again, I think it is a shame. I think it's going to be a day of being ashamed. I think we don't realize it now, but when we stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we're going to bow our head in shame that we live 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 years on earth, and maybe you were saved 40 and 50 years and you never read His book that He signed with His blood, that the martyrs bled and died and were tortured so that you and I could have a perfect book. And you've never read through it. You read your hunting magazines. You read your fishing magazines. You women read your old garden stuff. The old romance novels, that ought to be in the trash anyway, wicked as hell. You read all that other junk. Turn off that TV. Turn off the radio. Get up early in the morning. Get you a cup of coffee. Sit down. Read 3 chapters a day. You can do that. You can do it. I'm resolved to do it. Just made up my mind. I'm going to do it. You made up your mind about a lot of things before, haven't you? I can't think of nothing better than just to make up your mind and say, you know what? I'm going to read through my Bible. Now, before I go on to the next point, I want to say this. I'm excited about this church. I'm excited about the last 2 years, all the people that's got on board reading their Bible. There's so many different people that's given testimony to me about how they've read through their Bible. They never had read through their Bible. They sparked off. And I'm thinking back maybe 3 or 4 years ago when Brother Howard, remember when Brother Howard and Sister Julia were listening through the Bible on tape, went through the Bible 2 or 3 times together, sitting there every night listening to it. You can go through that Bible if you want to. There's several other people in this church that have given testimony that in the last 2 or 3 years, they went through their Bible. They're not smarter than you are. They don't have more time than you do. They just were resolved to do it, and they did it. And I pray to God, if the Lord tarries and you don't go to meet Him and He don't come to get us, that by this time next year, some of you folks that have never read through your Bible will read through it. You need to do it. Number 2, I am resolved to cultivate my prayer life this year. What I mean by that is I mean at least a couple of things. Number 1, I'm resolved to spend more time in intercessory prayer, praying for others. You know, this prayer list we have here, a lot of people raised their hand this morning to put people on it. Already a lot of people on it. See, all kind of names up here on this thing. You say, well, Brother Dennis, I don't preach and I don't teach and I don't have a lot of money and I don't have a lot of gifts and I don't have a lot of talents. I don't have a lot of abilities. What can I do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can go home and sit down and spend some time and some energy and call out these names before the Lord and pray for them. And the reason they don't mean nothing to you is because your name's not on the list. But I'm going to tell you, if that was your youngin' up there in Montgomery and the other one up there in Birmingham, I'm going to tell you, if that was your husband in the hospital, been in there for a week or two and can't keep nothing down, I'm going to tell you, you want somebody back here praying for you. And I'm going to tell you the reason you don't want to pray for nobody else is you ain't sick. There's coming a day you're going to be sick and you're going to have a wayward child. And you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a struggle. And you're going to hope to God some of your church family will sacrifice some time to pray for you. I don't believe that's a hard, unattainable goal at all if you care. If you care, you can be resolved to pray for folks more. Pray that they'll get saved. Pray folks to get saved. And then cultivate my prayer life just with more fellowship with the Lord. You know, I'm embarrassed to say this. I'm sorry to say it, but it's just the truth. A lot of my prayers, I'm always asking God for something. You're the same way. Well, I'm resolved this year. I'm not going to stop asking Him because I need some things. But I'm resolved this year to just spend more time maybe thanking Him.
Amen.
Just fellowshipping with Him. Just saying, God, I don't want a thing today. Just want Your presence.
Amen.
Just want to feel You today. Just want to walk with You today. Just want You to be by my side today. I want to feel Your love. I want us to fellowship. I want us to have a good time together. I'm not asking You to give me an easy day. I'm not asking You to give me more money. I'm not asking You to help my health. I'm not asking You to do none of that, Lord. I just want to walk with You and be with You today. Wouldn't that be a good resolution? I think so. Number three, I am resolved, and you should too, to become more involved in the church this year. Now, I'm here. So maybe this resolution is for some of you, but I'm going to go over some of these in a moment. Listen. You need to just to make up your mind this morning. It's a shame that I would preach this message and so many people are out this morning. And I know some of them can't help it. I sure hope this records up there so they can get it. But I cannot think of a better Sunday in the year than the very first Sunday of the year to make up your mind that I'm fixing to get serious about this church attendance. Not this hit and miss stuff. And what you'll do is pray about all the services that you can attend.
Amen.
That you can go to Sunday school, you can go to Sunday morning worship, you can go to Sunday night preaching, you can go to Wednesday night.
Amen.
And you need to take advantage. I know some people can't do it. I know they can't. But I want you to think about something, folks. Some of you folks that don't do it, and that Brother Joe and some of his family are here today. I want you to think about the Karen family. Listen. Every week, they get at least two out of the three services. They're here. They are here. They live an hour and a half from this church. And it's a grief to them. I've talked to them. It's a grief to some of them because they can't be here for everything. But they can't when you live an hour and a half from the church. But they know this is a church God put them in. This is a Bible-believing work. They've been a big blessing to us. We're a blessing to them. And I'm telling some of you that live 10 and 15 and 25 minutes away from this church, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. They can outdo you in coming to church.
Amen. Amen.
You just need to make up your mind you're going to come more.
That's right.
You're going to have to sacrifice some things if you're going to come to church faithfully. I know we're going to run a little bit past. We have some extra stuff this morning, but it'll be all right. You'll make it. You'll live through it. You'll have plenty of time to scream and holler and act like an idiot tomorrow night. Some of you's got your eyes shut and you're nodding off looking out the window. When Alabama plays that game tomorrow night, you're going to be screaming like a bunch of idiots. You ought to get right with God this morning. Bless God, if you can scream and holler at a ball game tomorrow night, you can sit here 15 or 20 more minutes and listen to the man of God preach. The fact that you don't want to listen to the man of God preach shows me how much hell's in your heart. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I'm preaching you and you and you and everybody else out here. Now maybe we got somebody's attention. Bunch of folks nodding off when I'm talking about being in church. You'll be hollering and cussing and crying and rolling out in the yard and eating grass tomorrow night if the tide loses. You ought to be beat down with a brim buster. You say, oh, Brother Dennis, he gets mad sometimes. You mighty right I do. You mighty right I get mad when somebody's more focused on a ball game than they are the house of God. This is the first Sunday of this year. I'm fixing to preach here for a minute. I'm going to tell you, it's the first Sunday of this year, and God's given you a Bible-believing church with good singing and good preaching and good family and good fellowship, and we've seen God move here, and then you sit out some stinking deer stand trying to kill a deer and miss God's service. I tell you what, you don't deserve nothing from God. You need to crawl up to this altar this morning and ask God to forgive you. I'm going to tell you, they folks all over the place, they die to have a church to come to like this. That's why the Karen family drives so far to get here.
Amen.
and you just right up the road, and you always got something else you want to do besides be here. I know some of you don't like it, and I don't really care. Because the truth's going to go forth long after me and you dead and gone. Instead of getting mad with me, you ought to get right. Well, let's go over a few of these. I am resolved to become more involved in the church this year. Five things. Number one, attend all the services you can. If you can't come, you can't come. Don't get mad with me. If you can't be here, I'm not preaching to you. If you're working or you can't drive at night or you're sick or you got a problem or something like that or your ox gets in the ditch, just don't put them in there on Saturday night. Amen. Get involved in more ministry. Get involved in more ministry. There's plenty of things for you to do around here. Well, I just don't know what I need to do. Come ask me. I'll put you to work. Number three, fellowship with the families in this church more this year. Get to know some of these people. Listen, we have a little down. We're a little down today, but we usually have around 120 or so people come here, or 130 on Sunday morning. That's our average attendance. We're just a small church. But small as we are, with only 120 or 30 people, some of you never talk to some of the other folks. You want a fellowship with them. I remember the previous church I pastored before this, it got in bad shape. Nothing ever got done there. And I knew we were going down the tubes. I'll tell you how I knew we were going down the tubes, because I'd be preaching about 80 people or something on Sunday morning. And in 2 minutes, the church would be empty after I said the last amen, and every car would be gone. Man, they peeled out of here like Mario Andretti and but trying to knock each other down to get out the door. Nobody staying around fellowshipping. Nobody talking to one another. Everybody got to peel out of here and get gone. I knew that church was in trouble. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know how many years later, 15 or so years later, that church right now is just barely hanging on. Just barely got the doors open. Just barely got a handful of people. Won't you fellowship with each other? Hey, won't you stay and eat sometimes? I know it's noisy back there. I don't like it either. We did the best we could, but we made a big mistake the way we built that fellowship hall. I wish we had some noise reduction things. Maybe we pay off the building, we get that done. And listen, I know it's a long line and you have to wait a while. Bring you a pack of cheese crackers and eat them then while you're waiting in the line. Listen, it ain't just about stuffing our gut here. You can stuff your gut anywhere else. But you need to come in here, get you a plate, and sit down with somebody you don't usually sit down with, and talk with somebody you don't usually talk with, eat a meal with them, get to know them, and fellowship with them. That's important. Come to the work days. We had the best work day last time we ever had. And I tell you what, it was a female influence. We had about 9 or 10 women show up to that thing, and it was wonderful. There wound up being breakfast there, some biscuits and gravy. That ain't don't never happen on a work day. I mean, everything was smelling real good and looking real good and nice and neat. That was the women doing that. Sure wasn't the men. When the men got out there and got going, all you could smell was sewage. Listen, come to the work days. You say, well, I just don't know what I can do. Bring some biscuits and tomato gravy, hallelujah. That's plenty. Do something. But you need to be more resolved to be involved in your church this year. Just a few more. Everybody hang tight. We're going to be all right. I'm resolved to try to win some souls this year. I guess the way I want to put that for me is to win more souls this year. I told you that I thought the three saddest things for a Christian, I think the three saddest things for the Christian is to die one day and face the judgment seat of Christ. And number one, have never read God's book, read the whole thing. Number two, have never won not one soul to the Lord. And number three, never not one time in your life sacrificially given to God. I think that's real sad. After all he would do for us, we would die, having never won a soul, never read his book, and never reaching in there until it hurts and giving. Not even one time in our life. I'm resolved to win some souls this year. How about you? I was laid up on the street. I understand Brother Russell, Brother Carey. I mean, laid up in at the house, but I understand Brother Russell. Not on the street, I hope. I was laid up in the house with my knee out this weekend. I understand Brother Russell and Brother Carey. I don't know who all else went up to the street. Didn't two souls get saved? Two souls got saved this weekend. We need to go to that street. We need to go door knocking. We need to go to work. You need, listen, there's no, the church is ordering tracks. We're keeping a bunch of tracks back here in the meeting room. Get the tracks. When we run out of tracks, somebody let me know. We'll buy more tracks. You need to be a witness. A witness. All right. Number five. I am resolved with the great, by the grace of God and the help of the Lord, to tear down some strongholds in my life this year. What you talking about strongholds? I'm talking about sins. Some things in my life that I know is not pleasing to God. You say, preacher, you got some of them? Well, sure I do. You do too. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I talked to this fellow one time and he back a few years ago and he said he hadn't sinned since the 70s. You know, that's right. He believed in that entire sanctification doctrine and preached that and believed that. Said he hadn't sinned since the 70s. First thing we did when we got in his truck to go somewhere. Now listen, I'm not one of these watching. I'm not watching and waiting for people to fall because I'm just not like that. I want everybody to do good. I wish everybody could go to heaven. I wish everybody loved our Lord. But now if you start telling me that you're sinless, I'm going to be watching you. You see, I'm a little bit ahead of the rest of the gang out here. I've read this book. I know exactly what sin is. See, that bunch just thinks as long as I ain't getting drunk and smoking dope and running around with harlots, I ain't sinning. But there's a whole lot of other sins in that book, too. So you start shooting your mouth off to me that you ain't sinned since the 70s, I'm going to be watching you. And first thing we did, we get in the truck, and he takes off and he don't put his seatbelt on. You say, well, do you always wear your seatbelt, Brother Dennis? Absolutely not. But I ain't going around telling everybody I'm sinless. That Bible says over in Romans 13 that we are to obey the government. We are to do what it says. And if you don't, you sin. And the law says you're supposed to put your seatbelt on. If you get in that truck and crank it up and don't put your seatbelt on, you have sinned. I don't care if you think you ain't sinned since the 70s or not. But I've got some things in my life that I've got some sins, some bad habits, some addictions. What are you addicted to? What do you think? Fried chicken. I wonder if I got a 12-step program for fried chicken addicts. Go to Africa. Yeah, amen. I'm resolved to tear down some strongholds in my life. Some of you ought to, too. Just be resolved. Just make up your mind. Just a few more, church. Just a few more. I am resolved to give more to God this year. That's where the wheels fix and run off the wagon. Every time you say the word give, the first thing folks think of is money, and that's part of it, but that ain't what I'm talking about. I call it giving the three T's. You know what the three T's are? That's your time, your talents, and your tithe. Your time, your talents, and your tithe. And this year, I am resolved with God's help to give them more of my time, to give them more of my, how feeble they may be, my abilities, and give them more of my money. Because I'm going to tell you, if we're ever going to support missions around here, if we're ever going to get the gospel overseas, if we're ever going to get people saved, we got to start doing it right now. Time is running out. And the doors are going to begin to shut. And now, while the economy still is good enough that we got a little bit of money in our pockets, and now while the doors still are open and we still do have the freedom to preach and teach the Word of God, now is the time to do it. Work now. Do it now. Time, talents, and tithes. I'm looking forward to being able, with God's help, to give more money this year than I've ever given to Him. More of my time than I've ever given to Him. And more of my abilities just to do something for Him. And finally, I am resolved this year to love God more this year than I ever have. You know, I left that as the final point because that is the final point. We just love God like we're supposed to. That settled a lot of it. I mean, you just love God like you're supposed to. You'd give like you're supposed to. You'd pray like you're supposed to. You read your Bible like you're supposed to. You come to church like you're supposed to. You live right. You do right because you love them. Why do you stay faithful to your spouse? Why am I faithful to my spouse? It'll be 18 years tomorrow. That's right, 18? Okay. 18 years tomorrow. You don't think I've ever been tempted? You don't think some old trashy woman? I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm going to throw this in a little extra here. This ain't got nothing to do with the message. The devil knows what kind of woman you're attracted to. And what I find stimulating is different than Joe or different than Russell or Tony. We're all different as men and we all like different things. And I'm not going to get any more involved in that because it can get ugly. But I'm just telling you this, the devil knows what floats your boat. And that's exactly the kind of old tramp you'll send. But what constrains me to want to be faithful to my wife, not to want to do something like that, is love. It's love. I love her so much, man. I would never want to hurt my wife. I wouldn't want her to see the disappointment on her face when I had to tell her I'd done something stupid with some old harlot I didn't even care about. It's love. Love is what makes me get up and go do things that I don't want to do. I go sit out there in the parking lot at Walmart and wait on her while she's in there buying up the store. It's love. And I'm going to tell you, the problem with some of you is you just don't love God like you ought to. That's right. That's exactly right. You just don't love Him. And you got to be resolved to love Him. In conclusion, when the unjust steward figured out what he needed to do, he just resolved to do it, didn't he? He just made his mind up to do it, and he did it. And the thing is, you and I know what we need to do this year. Now, don't we?
Amen.
Just pray that God would give us the resolve, and the grace to do these things for Him this next year. Boy, what a difference it'll make in your life, in your family, in this community, and in this church. And I don't know about you, but I am resolved one day to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and hear Him say, "Well done." Not you were perfect, not you were sinless, not you never messed up, but just say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Every head bowed and eye closed, that's the message this morning. I don't know what God's leading you to do, but you need to do it.